אוקיי, הלו אביבאדי, הלו הלו, פרשת קורח, what can I say about פרשת קורח that you don't know, I think you know it all, but we're going to try to add something new, different angle to the story. It says, ויקח קורח. It starts with the word ויקח. ייקח means to take. קורח took. What he took? It's a question that everybody debate on, what exactly he took, what exactly that. When we talk about talking, what he took. So it say, Korach, Rashi said, Rashi is a commentary on the Torah, the most famous one, לקח את עצמו לצד אחד. He took himself to one path. One sound like good, right? להיות נחלק מתוך העדה, to be separate from the group, לעורר על הכהונה, and to fight for the priesthood, וזהו שתרגם אונקולוס והתפלג. The pasuk, the verse say, Korach took, אונקולוס is the person converted to Judaism, and he translates the entire Torah into Aramaic, not into Hebrew. The Torah is written in Hebrew, he put it in Aramaic. So people look at the translation, it's just translation to Aramaic. But of course, all Kabbalists, all rabbis, read the Unculus. You're supposed to read every week, two times the Hebrew, one time the Aramaic, to get your energy. No, not must. Whoever start should do it. So the way he wrote it is ויתפלג. התפלג mean פלג. פלג mean you went on your own party. You're no longer part of the original group. So Rashi learned from that, that he separated himself from the group for being a priest. And ויקח קורח, משך ראשי סנהדרין שבהם דברים. כמו שנאמר, קח את אהרון. And he started to manipulate everybody around to go with him. And he'd say, Korach took, Korach was the son of Itzar, who was the son of Kehat, who was the son of Levi. So four generations after Jacob. Right? So we are talking about now, if Korach, let's say 70, Itzar, let's say 70 just generation, Kehat, 70, Levi. And if we talk about Jacob, okay, so we are talking about like this whole event happened about 400 years after Jacob passed. Why does he mention Jacob? He is also the grandfather, Korah, because for something like that, you cannot relate to Jacob. Jacob would not do such a thing. Second, if you remember Levi and Shimon, when they did what they did after they found out their sister was raped, they killed the entire village of Nablus. What Jacob said? Don't mention my name ever near those two people. Even they are my children. I don't want to hear from my name going there. And now it's the time, and it happened, that Jacob doesn't even mention his name. Before I'm going into the Zohar, into the Ari, into explanation, what is happening here? It seemed rough, pretty rough. Last week was rough, this week is rough. It feels like we are in the desert. And as we're going into the desert, it's getting, last week we had the spy, this week we have the Korach. Every week, heavy duty situation. Not easy, not easy. What do we do with this? How can we get motivated when something like this happens? We know that disagreement will always happen in the world. If you look from physics point of view, those of you who study physics, not like me, who didn't do well. I did well in another area, but physics, I'm talking about more the deep stuff. You know what antimatter is, and matter is almost like taking plus one and minus one. You put them together, what you're going to get mathematically? Zero. So science believed that this universe, basically the what they call Mapatsa Gadol, Big Bang, happened when the antimatter met the matter explosion, and then what left is the matter. So, and I'm not trying to impress anybody there, otherwise I would talk only about that. But you should talk more to my son about it. So, why am I mentioning that? Argument will always happen. Disagreement will always happen. It's a necessity. Not feeling good about yourself, important. Feeling depressed, important. The ups and downs of life, important. Because there is no creation until you have opposition. If you no longer have opposition in your life, you're close to dying. If you want to know when the end comes, no opposition. Golf course. It's against yourself, no opposition. Cemetery. Similar, right? You ever been in a golf course? You ever been in a cemetery? Different hole. All in one. All in one. The idea, opposition is create energy. Without opposition, you have no energy. Now, there is opposition against yourself internally. There's opposition with others. In this parasha, we're talking about opposition of others. This parasha, after the opposition took a place, Korach fighting with Moses, earthquake happened. Everybody swallow in and die. Terrible death. What is earthquake? Physically. Basically, two plates disagree with each other. Who is the ruler? One want to go here, one want to go here. Left and right, left and right. They meet in the middle. Not for a date, for different reason. And there is no creation of anything without opposition, if you know how to deal with it. No creation. When you have opposition against you, something not working, you're just a minute away from the biggest success of your life. A minute. Unfortunately, we all miss it. Some people, God forbid, to get cancer, they go to hospital. At the hospital, they meet somebody who's going to invest with them $1 billion. But they gotta get sick to meet with that person. Once they got it, then they get cured. The only reason they got sick is to meet the money that they was praying for in Yom Kippur. They say, God, please give me the $1 billion. Okay. So God said, I make you sick, meet the guy, get the money, then I get you cured, you get out of it. What happened? The person starts saying, oh my God, what am I gonna do? All my life, I did this, I did that, and look what's going on. That's not it. We avoid opposition. We shake away opposition. We hate disagreement. Somebody disagree with us, we don't look at it like, wow, I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. It's almost there. And that's a sad part. That's where we all lose everything. So our success is not in the good things that happen. Our success is actually within the wrong thing that takes place. And once the wrong things take place, and somebody disagree with us, or we disagree with them, within that, Korach, we cannot judge him. The guy was true leaders. He was the leaders of all the Levites. He wasn't nobody. He wasn't the nobody. He was somebody. He was actually deserved to be the leader. He deserved to be the Kohen. It was only one little problem. The boss didn't think so. It doesn't mean the boss didn't think he doesn't fit. He thought he was fit for the job. He just wanted to do a different thing. We sometimes forget there is a boss. Right? I mean, with our children, don't we feel we are the boss? What do we know? What do we know? Sometimes I'm afraid. I'm giving advice. What do I know? What's their journey?
How do I know that my advice is right? My advice is based on my mistake. When I advised my son, I said, well, I did wrong in this area. I can tell you a lot about the mistake. About success, I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know what's in your journey. I don't know where you're going. I don't know what does the Creator want from him. I have no idea. I'm not God. God gave me a picadon. I would say picadon.
A deposit.
In your hand. Deal with it. My job is not to disturb it. Give, take, boss. Vayikach Korach. Korach took. What he took? He took a bad advice from his wife, it say, in the Midrash. His wife came to him. And you know, wife is logic. Wife are always right. Like customer are always right, wife are always right. He like it. When men sometimes call me, say, I love those questions. What to do with my wife? I say, I tell you, there's a training that you do, and it works. So what kind of training? It's called customer training. You do customer care training, and you learn how to do it, and then turn your wife and your customer, it's always going to work. She's your customer. We're laughing. So the whole idea, if you get to that point, I could be said everything's okay. But when you start thinking, what about justice? Justice, what is justice? Justice is relative. The wife of Korach saw that it's a family business. Moses became the leader, Miriam with the water and dancing and this, Aaron Cohen, what would you feel? You are around the Levi for many years, you have money, you have the look, you have the wisdom, you are tzaddik, everybody know you are tzaddik, and your job is not changing. So you go and say, excuse me, what's going on? How come I'm still the one who's making the food? I'm supposed to be, there's no, because in all the nation around the Israelite at that time, you need to know, it was, you change the leader from time to time. The leader don't stay the same, you know? Change the leader, change the priest, things change. But when you're dealing with God is the boss, different story. With God's situation, this is the boss, this will be the Kohen, it's different. That's what Korach mistake. And to make the long story short, when he died, as he was dying in an earthquake, and you know, he fell down, the earthquake was big, he was falling. He said, Moshe was right. Moses was right. What's the lesson? What's the point? Is to teach us that Moses didn't have an agenda of going after Korach. He didn't have like bad feeling about Korach. He understood Korach was right. Not Korach was not wrong. He was right. But it's not my place to decide. It's not my universe. This is not my place. What do I know? So beautiful, Moses, so beautiful. He didn't say you're wrong. You're right, but sometimes I see when I was a little bit younger, I'm still young, but when I was a bit more younger, so the group I was hanging with was mostly single, so it's single girls, single guys. So the group I was hanging was, girls at my age, but the way they were talked, they were very tough, very tough. They're different, you wouldn't know that style. It's more Israeli, you know, strong Sephardic, you know. So they were talking, they said, they always, if a nice guy passed by, and with him a woman, so how did that happen? I mean, look at this nice guy and a woman like this, you know, and they look at it. And there is, of course, I would never correct them from customer care. So just listening, grew up with three sisters, so they tell me I know a lot about it. So the idea is to understand, don't try to look for justice. Then you avoid the whole beauty of this world. This universe has no justice. There is a justice, but it's not appear to our five senses. So we cannot see the justice. If you look to see the justice, you start judging. Is there justice that lonely zebra went to drink water and then five lions jumping on the zebra. I never been in Africa, but I'm sure whoever been saw it. There's no justice. There's a lot of time. It's not fair. But what is fair? What is fair? What happened in front of my eyes now? Or what happened in the last 2,000 years? The two people who went with Korach, they reincarnate to be the bull that later on Elisha the prophet used them to prove that the true prophet, the Israelite prophet, are real. And the other one are fake. So if you see those bulls being slaughtered by the Eliyahu Naviv, by the Elisha the prophet, you say, oh, that's cruel and evil. But if you know those bulls came to Eliyahu Navi, lower the neck and say, please, give us a chance to correct what we did wrong against Moses. You say, I will. We don't see a thing. And because we don't see a thing, we think, that's wrong, that's right. That's wrong, that's right. Wherever I go now to any cafe, everything split to two. Not just Democrat and Republican. You know, I'm not talking about that. There's half of the cafe is against something and the other group is against those group who is against something. Nobody is for anything. Everybody is against something today. You go to colleges, people are with flags what they're against, you know, which is beautiful. What are you for? This week, my friend, look at all your opposition as a blessing. Look at, if I tell you that every time there is something, Chas v'Shalom, go wrong in your life, humiliation. You know, I think I spoke about it on Shabbat. I didn't have it on recording. I had one of the most amazing humiliation week you can imagine. Blinra. And for the cherry, when I went to buy kosher food before Shabbat, like to make it nice just a few hours before Shabbat. So I get the food, everything went well. I said, David, this is good. 1 hour with no problem. Put the bag, can I get out of here? I want to get out. Somebody parked the car, if you know Glatmar, in a way you cannot get out. So I used the horn and say, excuse me. Came out, scream at me. And in the end, she realized it's the wrong place. It's sweet. Those opposition give birth to all the money you're looking for. Those opposition give birth to all the love you're looking for. Those opposition give birth to all the health you're looking for. Now, you want to avoid those opposition. I'm looking at the light right now. I mean, I cannot look at the light for too long, right? Even that light make for some opposition, right? I mean, that little spiral, you know, that between the minus and plus.
The filament.
The minus and the plus, I'm not sure can get along together. If you put them together, I think it might be an issue. But somehow, when you put something in between them, some Yaakov, I call it Yaakov. You have Avram, give. You have Isaac, strong. You put them together, explosion. So we need Yaakov in between. Yaakov bring light, bring mercy, bring everything. And so his name is not being mentioned. The Zohar said like that. What was exactly wrong with Korach? And it said like that. Vayikach, umeshiv, ma lakach, what did he took? Lakach etzara. He took bad advice from his wife. That's Benjamin. What does that mean? Kol harodef, achar she'eno shelo. Whoever is chased something that not belong to him or to her. Uboreach mipanav. Whatever you chase something that's not yours, why would you expect it to be yours? It's not yours. Why are you chasing it? Chasing it, you hope it will be yours. A man, a woman, money, love. Lo shelcha, it's not yours. What happened? When you chase something not yours, boreach mipanav. It's running away from the person who's chasing it. Tony Robbins wouldn't like it. Motivational speaker say to you, make it hard, don't go into comfort zone, don't give up. But let's understand it. Lo od, ela ma sheyesh lo nehevad mimeno. Not only what he's chasing ran away from him, what he had before is gone. Lama, why to do it such a hard time? Lama, when let's understand the scientific or the logical explanation. Why does it have to be so hard? We all sometimes chase things that are not ours because we don't know. How do you know? Those people who go on the first dating, the table that move, the, and so one of you promised me to take me. I gotta see it. I gotta see how it works. Those, they're moving like a machine that moves. I love it. People are so desperate that they start to go, do this. I love it. But it's, I mean, if it happened in my time, this is the best time, you know? You can, it's a commercial dating. It's actually commercial dating. It's the best. I mean, I'm sure there is some men who go every day, no?
I think you're right.
There is, right?
Yeah.
All right, all right. And why not? Okay. Some men are not that desperate, huh? Oh. So a person who go after something that don't belong to them, how do they know it don't belong to them? How do you know this woman or man don't belong to you? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know this property? You want to buy a property. Why do I know if it belongs to me? Why do I know what's me, mine, what's not? I don't. And it say, not only he's not going to get it, it's going to run away from him. And then he continue, low odd, not enough. What he has start to disappear too. Oh, you want to punish me for chasing something that I don't know if it's mine or not? You're going to now punish me? What do you want from me? I like somebody. I thought they are mine. I want to take them there. My friend, here the Zohar in verse 4. Try to teach us synchronicity. You have to have opposition. People who disagree with you. But when things are yours, things are yours. When things are yours, things are yours. You don't have to worry, it will run away from you. It's yours. It's yours. I don't know if you ever lost, I don't know, your phone, the taxi. And then they call you and say, I think your phone is here. Or something. I mean, they call you. How can they call you if your phone is in taxi? But let's say you lost your watch or something else. And they call. How can that even be? It's yours. It's yours. Whenever it's yours, it's meant to be part of your. But if you start chasing things that not yours, then what happened at that moment? You lose appreciation for the thing around you. We have so many gifts in our life, so many wonderful, wonderful blessings. But we don't look at that. So what we develop, it's called jealousy. If the reason you want something is coming from lack because you don't have or because you're jealous, even if you're going to have it in the end and it's not yours, it's going to create a problem. Korach came from there. And he continues, it's all verse 5. Alach b'machloket, מהו מחלוקת? הרחקה ודיחוי. הרחקה ודיחוי שלמעלה ולמטה. מה זה מחלוקת? What is מחלוקת? Disagreement. Disagreement is the same word in Hebrew for חלק מוות. Part of death. But not only did he create a problem here, he created a problem in heaven. מי שרוצה לדחות תיקון העולם יהיה נאבד בכל העולמות. He was right on a physical level. But he was wrong on a metaphysical level. On a metaphysical level, they want Aaron to be the Kohen, to be the priest, not Korach. If they put Korach there, it will be good for the physicality and terrible for spirituality. And for that reason, the whole universe will be destroyed. Before you want to make a change, see if you're coming from a place of doing good for everyone. Not all the time you have to stay still. Sometimes you have to fight. Sometimes you have to disagree. Sometimes you have to say something. This parasha is taking us to one lesson. If it's yours, go. If it's not, let it go. That's what this parasha wanted to teach us. Korach. Korach. And that's why his name is Korach like Kereach. Kereach means ball. Ball. Yatsa Kereach mipo ve mipo itse. The story is from the Talmud. It said there was a man has two wives. One wife is old and one wife is very young. And he has what they call salt and pepper. And the old wife didn't like the black hair that he has because it makes her look old. So every day he come home, she take three of them out. The young wife didn't like the white, so she keep taking. In the Talmud say, that's what the Musag in Hebrew come, Yatsa kereach michan u michan. He become bald from both sides. Sometimes catching too much, you actually catch nothing. Tafasta merubeh lo tafasta. That's what the Talmud said. You have to be careful. So jealousy, my friend, is worse than hatred. Because jealousy is lead to all the problems exist in the world. When you hate somebody, it's not cooking you from inside. You hate them. You don't want to be next to them. When you're jealous from someone, you actually get closer to them. And you keep, your jealousy is keep going. Very scary, by the way. Jealousy is a disaster, it's a disease. When a person recognizes he's jealous, you have to stop everything and pray to God and say, Master of the world, please, I'm begging you, take it away from me. Take this jealousy away from me. I know you can do it. I know I cannot do it. You can do it for me. Because jealousy, once it starts, it's boiled. And then it affects the organs. The Zohar said in Peras, it affects the bones marrow. That's how far it goes. Very dangerous. It's the one thing that affects you all the way to the bones marrow. The one thing you want to work, no jealousy. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to. And what happens when you get jealous? You don't see the blessing you have. And then things start to go bad. Good. Happy we mentioned it. And the Zohar continue. ומי שחולק על שלום, חולק לשבוע של הקדוש ברוך הוא. משום ששבוע של הקדוש, רק שלום. Whoever has issue with bringing peace, and it's funny, as we talk now, Trump and I don't know how to say the name, Kamjoon, I don't know, Jean-Jean is meeting now together, and I'm so happy about this meeting because it's Erev Rosh Chodesh. It's tonight is the day before Rosh Chodesh, that's why Thursday I'm going to give some secret of astrological secret how to deal with the 30 day of Tammuz, because Tammuz is not the easy month. So I'm looking for some mantra that I can give you to deal with this month. So hopefully I will find it, so you can deal with these 30 days that coming. Survive them. You know, Tammuz is giving it to you. And malasu. Okay? Bore. Eno olam omed ela ala shalom. People who look for justice will always judge. People who look for peace always find the good in one another. Mercy one another. The goal of this week, my dear friend, is not to look for logical sense of thing. It's to look for mercy. Mercy. How can I be merciful? How can I see the good in everything? It's a not easy week, I know, for some people because it's Korach. But Wednesday night, the moon shifting to Cancer. Thursday night, we're going to give a lecture here. Everybody is welcome, of course. Bring all your friends. And I'm going to make sure that I'm giving you some knowledge of astrology about how to deal with the months to come, Bezal Hashem. Okay. Now, going back, I want to take you to the Ari. And Ari write about Korach. And I said something on Shabbat that I was fascinated for myself that I say it. Maybe it's an ego, but I still like it. And it say, what exactly happened between Korach and Moses? And Ari explained from a reincarnation point of view, Moses is Abel. Korach is also Abel. Moses finished the tikkun of Abel on his behalf. Korach didn't finish yet the tikkun, but Korach was higher than Moses, potentially. But he didn't finish what he meant to be finished, because when you are a higher soul, they give you more job. So what they dump on him? They dump on him all the tikkun of Cain as well. So now he had to correct Cain and Abel. What was his first letter? Kuf. For Cain. Cain. What did it say about Cain before he killed his brother? Vayakom. He stood up. What did it say about Korach? Vayakom mitoch ha'eda. The same thing. Same words. Who Korach reincarnated into? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has a kuf. Of course he has a kuf. He has a kuf in his name. Akiva. So look what happened. What was the complaint of Korach? Life is not fair. What was Rabbi Akiva said? Life is fair. How did Rabbi Akiva die? They took his skin off his body. And while they're taking his skin off, he say, life is fair. And that's the best moment of my life. His student come to test him. Who was the student? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Who was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Moses. He came to test him and said, Cain or Korach or Rabbi Akiva, this is not fair. You did everything right. Why did they kill you like that? He said, go away, snake. Meaning, I know exactly what I need to accomplish it. I meet a lot of people who believe, and unfortunately, this is one of the things that I can say make me angry, when they believe that being spiritual will make their life better. And I want to repeat it here in front of the camera. Being spiritual make you spiritual. And because of this, life is better. But if you're looking for being spiritual to make your life better, you're missing the point. Because it's a motivation that lasts for 1 year. I will tell you, if you just start spirituality today, you have 1 year of bonus. Everybody get 1 year of bonus. I say 6 months, but I saw it in a different book, say 1 year. 1 year bonus means for every spiritual thing you're going to do, you're going to get a candy. But after this 1 year, no bonus. There's only one thing. If you're capable to continue spirituality, that's your bonus. And if you don't look at spirituality as a bonus, then don't be spiritual. Spirituality is the fun. It's like the famous story I always tell. That rabbi, Kabbalist, spiritual man, whatever you want to call it, get off the boat, let's say in Singapore, we're in the right place. And he has few luggage, and he give a few dollars to a man. He said, do me a favor, help get this luggage to this hotel. It was 9 a.m. The gentleman with the luggage arrived at 9 p.m. He said to him, what happened? He said, well, you know how heavy is your two luggage? He said, if these are heavy, those are not my luggage. And he closed the door. The lesson from the story, if you feel that spirituality is heavy for you, you're not doing spirituality. You're doing something else. I don't know what you're doing. If spirituality doesn't make everything lighter, you're missing the whole point. Spirituality has to be fun, easy, excited. Think about something that you like to do. Is it heavy for you? And if you take my wife like movement. Always movement. For me, I like non-movement. Different people. Maybe different. We are very different. Different people. Like for her to move to another house. One day, gone. We move. To fly somewhere, gone. I did the ticket. Hey, let me think. You know? Different people. But that's our fun. Our fun. You put a chessboard here on a table and you bring me people to play with. There's no night. We will not sleep. That's my fun. So how come when I play chess, I can stay awake 24 hours, no problem. I love it. Or tennis, or something that I love. Everything that you love to do is not feel like you carry a luggage. Spirituality meant to be something that is not heavy on you. If it's too heavy on you, you gotta recheck what you're doing. You're doing something wrong with your spirituality. Spirituality is a core of connecting to your inner soul that connect to the divine, and all of that excite you. And if it's not excite you anymore, stop, talk to somebody, say, I don't know what to do, I'm losing it. Because many people go to churches and synagogue, you know, I wouldn't tell you they go, I mean they go, most of their back is like this. Can't take it anymore, people. What happened? Where are you going? Gotta do what I gotta do. You don't have to do, right? You're now going to a place to receive $1 million. Would you go like this? Or are you gonna run to be first? who believe that that place gives the $1 million. Otherwise, the whole prayer is exciting. Every word is amazing. It was two rabbis were sitting, and one rabbi was praying very fast. The entire prayer of Shabbat in 1 hour, finish. The other rabbi, 7 hours. So they have, both of them rules two different movements. So they sit together with their movement. Here is 1,000 people, and they ask, why are you praying fast? Why are you praying? So both of you are righteous. So the one who prays so slow, he say the words, every words of the prayer is like so hot and full of fire that it took me time to swallow the words. So it took me time to say it. I cannot put it on my tongue. That's how I feel when I say the words of God. I'm so excited, but I can't say every word so fast. So they go to the other rabbi and say, what about you? Why is your prayer so fast? He cannot even swallow. I say, no. I imagine the words differently. For me, the words is so sweet that I can't just stop. I keep saying those words and swallow them, and because they're so sweet. It doesn't matter if your spirituality is fast or slow. It doesn't matter how you do your spirituality. It matters that you're excited while you do it. Because if you're not excited while you do it, it's going to turn not good. I'm a big fan of Torah scroll. I'm a big fan of any scroll. Every time I see a scroll, a good writing, I'm in heaven from there. In heaven. Today, our Torah, we fixed the Torah for 3 weeks. Our Torah came back today. And my son, Sibi, look at the Torah, go through the letters, go to fix it. I'm sorry if it was one noon that bothered me. And he looked at me and said, this little thing bothers you now, you're celebrating. I said, how can I not celebrate? This noon makes it all different. When you look at spirituality like this, do you still need a gift? Do you still need a gift from God to say, now I behave well, now can you please give me more money? Why do you need more money? Now I behave so well, give me a soulmate. Why do you need a soulmate? The relationship with the divine, with the creator, that's the moment of your life. And then, to bring soulmate, lama lo, why not? Bring money, okay. That's spirituality, my friend. And this is very important that we remember that. Please remember that. Then jealousy will never be your place. Another thing. Any questions so far? I'm sorry I didn't let you ask some questions, but usually you attack me in the end. So the idea is like to understand, you know, the opposition that we talked about before. When something starts to go wrong in your life, chas v'shalom, God forbid, it's very easy to blame the people closer to you, if you have people closer to you, then God, then different things. I make a deal with you. You're allowed to blame everybody else after you realize that whatever goes wrong in your life has something to do with you. It's a good deal. Can we take this deal as a deal? Blame them after you. You first look inside, say, what am I doing wrong for that not to work? And after you did that, then say, you can add my father, my mother, and everybody else. I mean, some of us, like me, come from dysfunctional family, you know, a little bit issue, you know. Most of you, you look normal, you know, look like me, you know. But some of us came from... I let Debbie this summer experience my family, so there be no all kind of style of manipulation. I let her experience like classical, good. She was shocked. She was, oh my God. I never let her like to my family like deep, you know, into the bones. Go in. I want to see how long you survive. Maybe 22 hours, maybe maximum. No, none of you, not even me. You know, it's a smooth, it's becoming smooth, control you, and then you don't even know what happened, you know? You don't even know what happened to you. It's a style, it's a style. It's a sound of the voice. It's like, what can I do? And then you find yourself that little all of a sudden. The idea that we need to understand The Zohar is telling us a unique advice. When something starts to go wrong, you take responsibility. The other thing you got to do is physical. There is a section, it's called Pitum HaKtoret. In verse 20, it's something that we start offering only lately. It's a scroll that you read. I've started reading it too until I discovered it in Israel, in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai day. When somebody starts teaching me, he tell me, you don't read Pitum HaKtoret from Klaf, from the scroll. I said, no, why? So he showed me the proof. So where do I get it? I'm going to order now immediately. So I order it right away. But unfortunately, it's for people who can read Hebrew. You have to read the Hebrew letters. Otherwise, you don't activate it. You have to learn to read Hebrew for that. So when you read the scroll in Hebrew, the Zohar said, בשעה שבעלי הדין עומדים על העולם והכעס תולה, אם נמצא בדור צדיק המצוין, הקדוש ברוך הוא מביט עליו והכעס נשקט. If there is a righteous which is pure like Moses, God just look at him and all the negativity go away. But what did Moses did? Look at it. אף כאן כאשר ראה משה שהכעס תולה, when Moses saw that there is negativity and the angel of death coming down, מיד ויאמר משה לאהרון, משום שהוא השושבין, he told his brother Aaron, והכתורת אינו עולה לבידיו שהוא מרבה שלום מעולם. Right away, you have to do the כתורת. You have to do, it's a spice that you use, it's a level spice, that you mix, and when you mix those spice, you remove any negative energy. What do we do today? We read a section. We read the section you're supposed to read three times, but two is good enough, two or one at least. One in the morning, one twice in the morning, and one before sunset. Pitum HaKtoret, most of you go to pray, it's called Pitum HaKtoret. הרי הם ידעו שהיא שמחה של מעלה ולמטה. Whoever say it, activating happiness above and below. הסתלקות הכעס, and removal of anger, but not anger, inner anger, anger of above, שמן וקטורת ישמח לב, ואז איש חכם יחפרנה. A wise man can remove those negativity, ינקה ויתאר את הכעס ההוא, he will clean, he will purify that anger, והרחמים מתעוררים. And right away, the mercy has been awake. By the way, those of you who don't know how to read Hebrew, and still want to get it, maybe we can find a way to somebody read it to them at least once a week, you know? Anyway, okay, so Ktoret, remember, removing of negativity when you're going down and things are really bad, Pitum HaKtoret. Pitum HaKtoret, and you say it. All right. You can read about it in English as well. It's in your Siddur. All right. Now, going back to what I start with the Ari. It say, what exactly was the argument with Korach and Moses? If you remember, it was a different argument similar to it in the time of creation. The sun and the moon has an argument. How come there is two rulers in heaven? How come there is two rulers in heaven? It should be one ruler is like, logically, it's in another place. There is one king, one queen, that's it. So the moon came to God and said, you have the sun, you have the moon. The moon and the sun at that time was equal. It was the same. So God said to the moon, go make yourself smaller. The moon represents the female energy. The sun represents the male energy. The moon represents the greater part of light, or the chokhmah it's called in Kabbalah, the most amount of light. And the sun represents or the chasadim, which is smaller amount of light. So now, God said to the greater amount of light, disappear. Disappear till the Messiah will come. It's forever. And that's, we don't just relate to the moon, we look at the sky, that's a reflection of it. The moon is smaller than the sun, that's a reflection. But what really happened, it was before, it's on the day of the creation of the sun and the moon. Korach is like the moon. A lot of time, you are greater than the one that you have argument with. You can compete, and you are much better than the one you compete with, but the one that compete with you need to win. They are the sun. You are the moon. As a moon, you have to lose. And if you don't lose, you bring destruction to everybody else. You must lose. And if you don't, you will lose. So you lose by choice or you don't. The greater people know their position, know their place. Because they're great. But sometimes because you're great, you become arrogant. You understand what I'm saying? You're great. You're smarter than everybody else. Yesterday I was in my son's graduation. And it was this boy, that the smartest kids that they have in their class, going to Harvard. Very, very small, very... And the teacher spoke about him and he said, not only is genius and smart and capable, but he's not arrogant. And he knows he's smart. It's not that he doesn't know. He knows he's smarter than... He even knows that he's smarter than the teacher. And he doesn't make a big deal out of it. It's beautiful. What they missed in that, and I was hoping they would say it, that this kid was sick with cancer for 3 months. He was dying. And my son educated me, and I have to, he's not here, I want to thank him for that. Because I said to him, can he do the test and this? So my son looked at me, and you know, sometimes Leo, not all the time, sometimes Leo have those direct words, and he looked at my eyes and said, Abba, Father, these kids beat up cancer. You don't think he can beat up everything else? Good point. And my son, God bless him, visit him every day to make sure he's okay. So before he get the diploma, he went to my son. And I said to him, I think you deserve to receive it. Very emotional. I said, no. So he said to my son, I said, but I was not even in school. It's not right. He said, it doesn't matter. You are way better than me, and you deserve to get first place. So my son gets the second place. It's very emotional yesterday. People didn't see what behind the scene. I was talking to the guys, and I never saw a group of guys. You know, it's not easy to put 32 guys together that have union and unity among them. And the reason I'm bringing you this lesson, sometimes in your life, you have to be the greatest, but can you lower it? Can you lower it? Can you keep it together? Can you keep it together? If you can't, it's not that you are worse than everybody else. Your greatness brings destruction. Your greatness brings destruction. Is King David the best king ever? Of course he is. Who can argue about this? King David. King David became the king. The day after he became the king, he had to run away from his kingdom. Beautiful, huh? You become the president and you can never be in the White House. Can you imagine? He went to Hebron. You know Hebron, those of you who've been in Israel. Hebron. Instead of Jerusalem, the palace of the Middle East, you are now going to Hebron. Even the name is depressing. Go to Hebron. 7 years. A king of Israel in Hebron for 7 years. He knew. Even God told him, you are the king. He knew it's not the time. And for that reason, he became the best king in the eyes of God ever. Because if God give you wisdom, beauty, money, all of it is a gift. It's a gift. You are the best. No doubts about it. You are the best. There is nobody doubt it. What do you do with this? Are you acting like the moon? That the God said to the moon, go make yourself smaller? Or are you saying, hey, do you recognize the moon the most beautiful? Rich, smart, this? You make the list. You're not destroying yourself, you're destroying the world. You activated negative energy. It's called left column, dinim, judgment. Korach was the best. His job was to be tzanua. You know what tzanua mean? Modest. Tzanua also mean hidden. להצניע, the verb, להצניע in Hebrew, is to hide. You hide your perfect self. Because the perfect self, when it's appear, bring judgment. Moses couldn't go to Eretz Israel, couldn't go to Israel. Why? Because Moses was perfect. If he will go to Eretz Israel, everybody else will have to die. Because they are not in the same level. So when you allow the sun to shine, what's the value of a small candle? Zero. So for that reason, sometimes you have to lower it. Not, I'm working on my ego. I hear people say this stupid thing. I can't stand it. I'm working on my ego. And how are you doing about working on your ego? I'm much more humble. Wow, you recognize it? Yes. Ooh, wow, it's unbelievable. This is a tremendous achievement. Now let me make sure everybody on Facebook know that you work on your ego. The perfect self? The part that everybody knows, everybody knows. We're never going to be perfect. Let me tell you the bad news. We're not going to be perfect. We are human. That's what I love about the Torah, the five books of Moses. What I love about the Torah, they show you what Moses did wrong. It's in the book. They don't make Moses like, whoa, no. Jacob, they tell you. Yosef, they tell you with the wife of the Potiphar. First, let me remind you, we're human. Not angel. No. How we do it as a group. We're always going to be a community. Always. Wherever you're going to go, whatever the community is, your family, whatever your community, you are a tribe. We are, the DNA of our existence is tribe-oriented. People who get sick usually is when they start to separate, like Korach from a tribe. But he knew it. That's why he took with him 250 people. And how come other people came with him? They were his neighbor. They were his neighbor. And that's why it says, Oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheno. The Talmud said, bad for the neighbors of the evil man. Because if the evil man is bad, God forbid, I'm not pointing to my neighbor. I'm surrounded by righteous people. I'm truly surrounded by righteous people. You need to know. Righteous. Nobody had such a blessing. Everybody around me is righteous. And it says that bad for the neighbor of the wicked man. Because you get affected, you get swallowed with that. And so, on the pellet, were the neighbor of Korach, in the corner. So when Korach went down, they went with him, fortunately. Hide your perfect self. He doesn't have to announce it. Because your perfect self can destroy everybody else. Use it for you, try to be there for people. But it doesn't have to be announced. What are you good at? Things your number one skill. Write it down. That doesn't have to be talked about. We know you're good. We know you're good. Why it has to be on the open? That's the moon part in yourself that has to be shh, Korach, shh. Not because humble. Because if that will reveal, everything else will be canceled. That's the biggest secret that Ari will teach us this week. So when you are perfect, and you start to get jealous from people who are not perfect, what happened? You lose the perfect self of yourself. Because why would God give you the perfect part? Why? If somebody has a power of healing, a power of blessing, that's beautiful. God bless you. You know, I went to Jerusalem to pray, and I think I did a mistake, but maybe I didn't do a mistake. You know, those of you who know me, I speak my mind, I don't hold back. So I drove from Rabbi Shimon, and I had the desire from Meron to drive all the way to Jerusalem, and I said, I don't want to do the minyan of the morning in Rabbi Shimon, I want to do it in Jerusalem. And the people who've been with me, I said, you sure you're going all the way to Jerusalem? It's far away. I said, that's what I want. I want to do the first morning minyan in Jerusalem, do mikveh in a kineret, and put my tefillin in front of the wall. Nets mean the... I have a video of that. The first minute of sunrise, okay? The first second of sunrise. If you say you pray in sunrise on the spot, on the second, anything you ask for will happen. But you have to learn how to ask. The Ari said, when you ask, you have to say, God, I'm only asking you because you told us that that's the way to talk to you. So I'm asking you for that help. You're allowed to do it this way. So I'm there, and there is this guy, hardly ever a minion. Look, a little bit lousy, rusty in his voice, worse than me, screaming the entire prayer loud. I'm praying, and I want to be kind of quiet, like, kind of, didn't sleep all night, a little bit nachat. I'm in the front of the Kotel, going to Israel cost a lot of money, so a little bit break. Escape. So there is a lot of religious people there, you know. And I asked him, is he a Michiganer? That's what I asked him. Michiganer means crazy. Is he a totally Michiganer or is righteous? So all those religious people like my question. Say if you would ask, is Michiganer, we will judge you. If you ask, is righteous, we will judge you too, that you are something wrong with you. But you actually gave us A and B. You gave me, they said, we like you. Because he gave us A and B. He said, if you ask it this way, we would like to tell you the answer. I said, yes, what's the answer? We don't know. And then they told me his name. He's a very famous Kabbalist. Everybody go there to Israel just to receive a blessing from him. I was not impressed with the screaming. But what do I know? Maybe that's the cover, that he cover the inner self. You know, he's a very famous dude. Everybody knows his name in Israel. If you go to Achalban, everybody know Achalban. The milkman, they call him. The Kabbalist, the milkman. Oh my God, I'm going to the milkman to get a blessing. So then they told me his name. I said, that's it? That is the Chalban? That's what I'm waiting in line for? And he scared me. I went, you want to go? But maybe I meant to be scared. Maybe I meant to judge him. Maybe he want to hide the perfect self. You understand what I'm saying? You got to know. And that's why it say about righteous people, nistarim. What do you call about righteous? In the Gemara, in the Talmud, the Zohar, they call it tzadikim nistarim, hidden righteous. That's what they call them, by the way. Hidden righteous. Why they call them hidden righteous? They are capable to hide. What does righteous mean? Somebody who justified that everything that happened, they're able to hide the justification of them being a tzadik. That's what they call it, hidden, nistarim. You cannot find, you cannot do, see them. And my friend, this trip in Israel, what I did, I decided to do a trip only to Sephardic Kabbalists. I never did it before. Usually I go to my normal trips, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, everything mix. You know, shakshuka, scramble of everything. This time I went to Sephardic. I want to know the Sephardic where I came from, my grandfather, all this and that. And Debbie were with me and we were shocked. And everything was empty, remember? Everything was empty, we could go. And it's so beautiful. One of the places is like everything that you want to buy, but nobody's there. You can put the money, you don't have to put the money, you can take the book. There is a book, you put, it tells you the price for everything in there. But the energy, my friend, the energy in that place, and hopefully, you know, I'm planning to go on Sukkot, Bezal Hashem, this year. It's one of my life dreams to do Sukkot in Israel. It's always been my life dream to do Sukkot in Israel because it's the one thing that they say that Moses teleported himself to do Sukkah in Israel when he was alive, and then he came back to do it. So it's a one place that you want to be, and one place you want to be. So I'm working on it as we speak it now, and we work all day on that, how we're capable. And of course, those of you, of course, if you want to join us, and there is room and place, everybody welcome. We don't know yet where we stay, how we stay, where we go. You know, if we rent a place, because it's quite expensive, as you know, so we find different deals to maybe rent a house and doing different things. So, but the excitement about it is to understand that this week, try to be happy with who you are. Try to look inside and say how great you are. But you don't let all the world to know it. You should know it. If you don't know that you are great, then why do you have to announce it to the world that you are great? Most people who are insecure and hate themselves want the whole universe to love them. Why would I want the universe to love things about me that I hate? Why? Why would I do that? Why would I want the universe to like me for what I don't think even I am? I want you to love my part that I hate the most, so I can feel better. Why? Why would I do that? You know, why? And if you love already the part about yourself, then you don't need to announce so much about it. So there is no point of that. And that's what Korach wanted to teach us. Korach was tzaddik. When he died, as he was dying, can you imagine? Person, earthquake is falling down. He say, Moshe emet, Torah to emet. Moshe is true, and his Torah is true. There's a story in the Zohar that Ishmaeli, one Arab guy, was walking in the desert next to a place where it took a place, and said the sound of Korach is still there. He still can hear people say, Moshe emet, Torah to emet. Because Korach realized that he missed the point. What was the point that he was missing? He was right about that he deserved everything, but he was wrong that that's not what God's will is. And I remember before Debbie and me opened the organization, we went to Hebron, and I went to Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and I said, Avraham, you become leader because God chose you. I went to Isaac, I said, Isaac, you become leader because God chose you. Yaakov, you become leader. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel Velea, Adam Vechava. I said, God, if you agree with what we're doing and what we want to do, what we're about to be doing, and today I get the very good news about additional thing that we're going to do for many spiritual leaders. I'm very excited about that new level. I said, if that's it, please guide us and show us and choose us. Because we cannot choose ourselves. It's got to come from above. And everything that you guys are doing and choose to be doing, please, please, I'm asking you. Before you start, just stop and say, Master of the world, I want you to be partner with me. Be my partner. I'm about to go on this path. Just be my partner. And I will not be disappointed if it's right or wrong. I'll just be disappointed if you don't come with me. Because if you come with me, it doesn't matter. At least we come back together if it's no. If the answer is no for that deal, you come back with someone, the creator. If the answer is no for that dating that's going for 2 years and then in the end, it's no, it's okay. But you have the divine on your side. And my friend, is such a beautiful parasha. There is so much more I can share. And I'm not sharing even, I mean, this all what I shared was maybe two verses, and the rest was commentary. The good news is a very short portion. And it's just a lesson for all of us, a great lesson. Great lesson, you know, to remember the story of Korach. And by the way, everything that belonged to Korach become part of the altar in the Holy Temple. So we can remember. If you will be now in the Holy Temple, you'll see under the altar, there is part of the copper was made from stuff that belonged to Korach. They gave him still the zechut, they still gave him the merit for everything he did, because Korach was a nobody. I mean, for me even to say that he did something wrong, who am I to say it? But it's part of the lesson, so I have to say it. But to tell us who he was and what he was is one of the greatest stories, one of the greatest stories of the Torah. Alan, any question?
I want to know if his wife got in trouble. Uh-huh. Did his wife get in trouble for what? Like, who was she reincarnation
of? Hey, of course she got in trouble.
Sounds like she
did. I mean, when Korach complained, the first thing that Moses and Aaron did, they fell on their face. The question I was asked this 1 hour before the class, why? Why they fell on their face? And the answer, they say maybe he judges for us having too much ego. Maybe he's right. So they fell on their face to lower the ego. And then when they stood up, then they answer. Because they weren't sure that they come from the right place. How do you know if you come from the right place? When the person who bother you, don't bother you anymore. When they still bother you, how can you answer? You're not assertive, you are reactive, you know? You have to be more assertive, not aggressive. You have to see where you come from.